Sikh Zaran, page Yud Beis, in the yellow and the orange Sikh Zaran, Ois Yud Gimel, in every Sikh Zaran. Ois Yud Gimel is for some Yidden who have been feeling bad about the matzav lately, with Parnasa. It's been hard. A lot of have not been doing as well as in the past, and the people don't have jobs. So it's a question of how one uses that time. What happens to a person during difficult situations when parnasa is not going well? So Oisid Gimel, Yesh Anoshim Ksheirim, Shein Lam Parnasa. There are some Yidden who are Ksheirim, who are kosher Jews. That's a very big compliment. It's a very, very big compliment to be by Rabbi Nachman, a kosher Yid. So the Yidden who are Ksheirim, kosher Jews, that doesn't just mean that they eat kosher, it means that they're ksherim. She talks about in the next in Yudal, Erlich Yidin. Kosher, good Erlich Yidin. Not scholars, not saints, kosher Yidin. Once upon a time there was such a thing, there are still some of that type. It's a very beautiful thing when you see one. Yeshon HaPashem, She'en Lehem Panasa. There are kosher Yidin that don't have a panasa. Sometimes it seems that there's a higher percentage of those types. She'ein lehem panasa, that they don't have a panasa. And as a result of that, yesh lehem doichak, they're under tremendous pressure. Tremendous pressure. Yesh lehem doichak, and mimela because of the doichak, because of the pressure, they're bilbulim gedolim, causes tremendous bilbulim, confusion and upheaval and a lack of menuchas and nefesh. It brings to tremendous, tremendous bilbulim. Any person that's ever been in that matzav, any person that feels responsible for money that he owes, taking care of the family. There are people that I've seen that they owe hundreds of thousands of dollars and they don't seem to have a care in the world. We're not talking about it. That's a different class of a person. We've met those types also. And those are very interesting, grievous that the Baruch Shalom made in his world. But there are others who owe money or don't have a parnasa and they need to take care of a mishpacha, and as a result of that they feel a tchak and they have bilbulim. And then the Rebbe says an interesting thing. This is a good thing for the world. Why is that a good thing for the world? What's good about that? The Nachum says, it's not toivah. What kind of taiva is that? So what's the taiva? The da. Sheish dibur in yikarim sheyoytsim adeh bibulim daika. So Ben Achman says, there are diburim yikarim, there are precious, precious words that come out of the mouth of a Jew. Dafka, when that person is going through difficulties and bilbulim. That since he's a kosher yid, since he's otherwise is a kosher yid, he's a good guy. And when things for a good guy, even for a good guy, even for the best guy, when things are going well, so the diburim, the words that he speaks to the Baruch Shalom, are not necessarily as beautiful and as precious, as filled with as much tchinas, entreating and begging. There's a certain sweetness to the diburim of a person who feels that he's lost. Like Chazal bring on the pasuk in Shir Shirim, Hashmini is Kailach, Harin is Marach, Hashmini is Kailach. Kailach Shishamati b'Mitzrayim. What does it mean, Kailach Shishamati b'Mitzrayim? So Reish Lakish says that there's a Moshe Mahat of Adayim, that there was a certain, he brings a marshal that there was a, everybody knows this, there was a princess who had fallen into a boar, into a pit, and she was screaming for help. And there was a young man who was passing by, he heard someone, a damsel in distress, he heard somebody that was in trouble in this pit, and he went and he saved her life, and she was very, very thankful, and They liked each other, and they made plans to get married. And once they made these plans, over time, she became very preoccupied with all the plans for the wedding. She became very busy, and she didn't speak to him with the same affection and the same urgency as she did when she was in trouble, when she would cry out, "Hatzileini, Hatzileini, save me." So she didn't have that same urgency, that feeling of need. So the prince was very hurt by that. I guess she was busy with the invitations and with the musicians and with the tablecloths and the gown. She was busy with everything. So what happened? So it says that the Ben Melech arranged for some fellows, like dangerous-looking guys, I'm paraphrasing the Medrash, obviously, but for some scary guys to go and to frighten her. She'd be walking through the garden and to go and to frighten her as if she's going to be attacked by a bunch of thugs, by a bunch of hoodlums. And sure enough, these were guys that were paid to do the job. They did a good job, and she started to cry out, "Hatzileini," and she started to call for him, "Help me, help me." Then, of course, he swooped to the rescue. Now, this is not anything that one should practice with his wife or his girlfriend or anything like that, you understand. So he went to rescue the Kala, and he said, "Ay, Hashmini Eskailach Sheshamati V'Mitzrayim. It was so good to hear your voice again. Let me hear the voice that you were using when you called out to me when you were in trouble in Mitzrayim." And Hashem said, "I came to rescue." So that's the Nimshal is Hashmini Eskailach, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying to us that when we're going through a difficult time, like Rav Nachman talks about here, what's the Toivel Ha'olam? The Toivel Ha'olam is when a kosher yid who believes in Hashem, because she was a wonderful woman, the Basmalch, the princess, the Kala, she was a great girl. But you know how it is, and things are going well, and you're busy with stuff, you don't remember so much the person that you love. And even if you do, you don't speak with as much of a need. So that's what Kadosh Baruch Hu was saying, that I miss the way that you used to speak to me when you were in the filth in Mitzrayim and the pits, and when you were standing by Yam Suf, and therefore the Baruch Shalom, by Yam Suf the Baruch Shalom brought again the Mitzrayim. That's Chazal Adashling on that. And Kriyas Yam Suf, why did Hashem do that? We came to Yam Suf. So here we left Mitzrayim, and everything's givaldi. And then why did Hashem bring us to such a situation? We came again to the Yam, and the ocean is there, and the Mitzrayim, the Egyptians, are chasing us, and the Chayis and Behemoth, and there's nowhere to go. And then we cried out to Hashem Esbach. So on that, Chazal say the Pasuk has Hashem Yizkar. It's Kerlach Sheshamati B'Mitzrayim. That when you were in a state of bilbulim and difficulties and so on, then there was a certain way that you spoke to me. There was a certain way that you needed me and you cried out to me. So maybe that's what Rabbi Nachman is saying over here. That Yeshanosh B'Shem She'en La Parnasav Yeshanam Doichad Yibilbulim G'daylam Yizeh V'hu Toivel Ha'olam. V'hu Toivel Ha'olam, that there is good that comes into the world as a result of these kosher Yidden who are going through hard times. And they call out to the king. And in doing so, the kivyochel opened his heart. And when Hashem Yisbarach is mashpia, mimele is mashpia shafa, that's good for the whole world. That's what he says. Sheyesh dibur mikarm sheyoytzma yidei bilbulim davka. You know, when a person is in a state of bilbul, he can't be as clear-headed. He's confused. And he can't be as articulate and as calculating. When a person has a lot of time in his hands and he's not in any trouble, he can sit down and he can write a letter to let's say he's in trouble with the law. So he can sit down and he can write a whole long thing to the judge, and he explanations and he speaks to the lawyers about how to compose such a letter. But when the person, that's all when a person is b'yishuv hadas. But when the person was caught and they're about to throw him into jail, there's somebody who's about to kill him. So then he doesn't have any prepared speech. He's not able to, he doesn't have the yishuv hadas to say something that could be in some way artificial. It's artificial, that's superficial, that's not real. When a person's in a hard time and he's in a place of tchak, of difficulties, so then he talks mamalashin. That's what I mentioned to you many times over the years. It's one of my favorite stories that I just told to you, I think, before the summer, that it was a meiser with Ben Gurion. That Ben Gurion was walking together with Eliezer ben Yehuda. You heard of these two people, right? Mm-hmm. Neither of them put on tefillin in the morning, no. So Ben Gurion himself was not at all religious. He had some antagonism towards the religious, but he held it back and so on. But Ben Yehuda is famous for the Hebrew dictionary, for the dictionary. He's called the father of modern Hebrew. So he was a soine hadat. He hated Yiddishkeit. He came from a family, like most of the Chavim. But he was a soine hadat, mamish. So the two of them were walking together, Ben Gurion and Eliezer ben Yehuda, and it was a terrible chamsin. You know what a chamsin is, right? It's kfelch hot, terrible, but not a regular heat. Kfelch chamsin. And Ben Gurion starts talking to Ben Yehuda in Yiddish. Ben Gurion's talking to him in Yiddish. Ben Yehuda got very angry because he hated Yiddish. His whole thing was Ivrit. He wanted to put an end. His whole thing was to end Yiddish. So he couldn't believe that Ben Gurion is talking to him in Yiddish. And he said, How can you speak in Yiddish? It's that disgusting language. So Ben Gurion says, Laiza, tut mir a toive, so heist ich kenne ich. Umekachel. Laiza, he said, instead of Eliezer, he said, Laiza, he says, yeah, just do me a favor, I'm too hot, I can't do it. I'm too hot, I can't talk Hebrew right now. From the home, they were both from Europe, they're both Yiddish speaking from the home, and this whole thing about Ivrit. Says, Laiza, I can't, this is too hot, it's too hot for me now, I got to, just let me talk regularly. It's a beautiful story, because the whole thing was a hatzaga. You understand about how to act and how to be, and it wasn't just with their Hebrew. It was with the whole business of not being religious. It's too much. Okay, it's too much for me. I don't want to work that hard. You know, just talk Yiddish. So when a person, Rabbi Nachman is saying that when a person is in a tchak, when he's in a hard time. And he's confused. So he can't plan things out, you understand? He can't put things in the Seder. So he says things in Mamaloshim. What comes out from the heart? It comes out. So that's what Nachum says. There are precious words that a Jew speaks Davke when he's in a state of Bilbul. Obviously, there are differences between states of confusion. Talking now, in this parasha. What the Medrash there is telling us, the Medrash is going on the Pasuk in Parashas Bereishis. The Pasuk there tells us that Vayapel Hashem Elokim Tadema al Ha'adam Vayisham, that Hashem Shabbach put Adam HaRishon to sleep. Tadema means not stam being asleep, it means a deep slumber in English, sleep, deep sleep. He put Adam HaRishon to sleep and he slept. So on that Pasuk, the Medrash says that there are three Tardemas. Shalosh Tardemos Hain. There are three levels of tardema, three levels. And the Medrash says there's what's called the regular sleep, which is a little bit deeper than sleep. It's tardemas shena. Eshluft, a little bit. I mean, he's asleep, but it's a little bit stronger than a regular sleep. That's tardemas shena. The second is tardemas nevuah. Tardemas nevuah is when a Navi, with the exception of Moshe Rabbeinu, of course Moshe Rabbeinu was different, but all the other Nevi'im, besides Moshe Rabbeinu, in order for a Navi to have a nevuah, he had to go into some sort of a trance. He had to be unconscious. That's called Tardemas Nevuah. It's the second level of Tardema. And then the Medrash says, Tardemas, an interesting word, marmota. Tardemas marmota, which the Mefarshim translates a certain animal. It means hibernation. There's a level of sleep that's very, very deep, like an animal, like a bear, and there's those brings there a certain kind of a bird, whatever, that they go to sleep for a whole season, for a long time, very, very deep tardema, very deep sleep. And that Medrash Rabbanan Amre, the Medrash brings another view, af tardema shel stus. Listen to this, just there. Af tardema shel stut. What does that mean? There's a person who's completely awake. His eyes are open. But he... Eshlus. It's a tardema shel stus. Means that a person who's very, very, very deep, in a deep hibernation in this world, that he's not conscious of the Baruch Shalom at all. He's totally unaware of what's going on around him. So that's the Rabbanan are telling us that that's the deepest sleep. That's the deepest sleep. So there's a regular kind of sleeping, tadema. Then there's the tadema of Nevuah, tadema of a person who's receiving Nevuah. Then there's a hibernation, marmota, Rabbanan Amre, af tadema shostus. Means a person is oblivious. Oblivious, lost some life. He goes through life, ki'ilu, he's totally asleep. But in such a deep sleep that there's nothing that spares him. Nothing that wakes him up. He could be surrounded by Nisim and the flows. It could be a Maimon HaSinai and he's still asleep. There's a Bach that used to stay by my house a lot when we lived in Farakaway. This Bach, yeah, whatever, hard life or something. So the Bach used to set up for himself 4 or 5 alarm clocks. He used to set up himself to get up. He had a whole thing with different sounds and loud, 4 or 5. And I would still come back from shul. He had all over the room. He would put up alarm clocks. And I say, I'll wake you up. He said, no. I have all my things. Every time I get back from shul, he's like, and such loud, because he showed me how it worked. Loud. So there are people that they live in this world, and they go to work, and they get married, and they live in the tardema shel stus. Tardema shel stus. So Ben Achman is bringing that madras. What's he bringing the madras? So Ben Achman says, "Yesh chilukim ben habulbulim." Confusion is a type of sleep. When a person is not thinking clearly, when a person's sleeping, he is not conscious of what's going on. There are different levels of sleep. Sometimes you're somewhat conscious. You're semi-conscious, and there are deeper levels of sleep. Hibernation is very, very deep, but tardema shel stus, Ibn Achim says, there's a type of a bilbul, tardema hu bilbul hadas. We know that tardema, Ibn Achim says, is a type of bilbul hadas, but there are different levels of bilbulim. And obviously Ibn Achim is not talking about a Jew who is oblivious to the Baruch Shalom, who's oblivious to his life and to what the truth is. So that's what Ibn Achim is just telling us, that when I'm saying bilbul, I'm not talking about a level of bilbul where the person doesn't sense HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence, like the Baal Shem HaKadosh. The Baal Shem, it's a famous teaching of the Baal Shem, but Hanochi, it says, Hanochi Haster Astir. It says twice, Haster Astir. So in English it's written, Haster Astir is, I shall surely hide my face, by Yomahu, on that day. But the Baal Shem HaKadosh said that the worst test upon him is when a person doesn't even know that Hashem is hiding himself. There are people that are like that. One kind of a person, people like us, we feel upset about ourselves not doing well in Yiddishkeit and so on. We feel upset that our davening doesn't go well. We are upset that Hashem Baruch is not revealed to us. It bothers us. Each person to a different degree. But then you have that person who's in the tardema of shtus, that haster astir means that the HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hastara is mitaych hastara, it's betaych hastara, that even the that he doesn't even feel that Hashem is hiding. Doesn't even feel that Hashem is hiding. No, it doesn't. He's totally asleep. That's very different madrega. That's a different madrega. Reb Nachman's talking about a person who's mabulbul, and he has a bilbul hadas, but mitarich that matz of a bilbul hadas, he says diburim yikarim, he says very precious things that he wants he wants help, and he calls out to Hashem Yisbarach, and in doing so, he's able to draw down Shef into the world, to be Mashpia Toiv to the world. I see a dialogue. Here too, Rabbi Nachman is talking about Erlich Yidin. Ani Mekanim Ha'oid, Ish Kasha. Rabbi Nachman says an astonishing thing. Rabbi Nachman says, I'm very jealous. Ani Mekanim Ha'oid, Ish Kasha, Shekarin Erlich Yehudi. I'm envious, I'm jealous. Ani Mekanim Ha'oid, Ish Kasha, Shekarin Erlich Yehudi. I'm jealous of a kosher Jew who's an Erlich Yid, a God-fearing. I'm jealous of such a person. Let's listen very carefully, and this is really found in the second. This is found in the second chelik of Lakut Maran, and we'll see that's the page that you have in front of you. We'll do that in a few minutes. It's part of a bigger Torah. He's a kinnid mishahelich ben adam im dakinen v'kakoshayis ve'ivarm. You can look at a person, and he's like every other person that goes with kishkes and intestines, dakin kakoshes, intestines, kishkes, ve'ivarm. He has limbs. He's a regular person like any other person. Kishar kol ha'olam. He looks like any other person. Ve'af al pichein be'emes hu inyan achel lagamrei. Even though when you see this person, the elchid, when you see the elchid, so he looks like anybody else. He goes with the same surah of any other person, with the same, as Rabbi Nachman says, with the same kishkes and the same evarim. But afal pichin b'emesu inyan achel lagamrei. Even though he looks like a regular guy, he looks like a regular person. It's altogether different. Ki ish kosher yokar ma'oid ashrei loy. Ish kosher, a kosher Jew. A simple, good, God-fearing Jew. Ki ish kosher yokar ma'oid. It's something very precious. It's very rare. Yokar ma'oid ashrei loy. And fortunate is the person who is that way. Ashrei lo. And the Erlich Yid never considers himself to be such a person. Doesn't think of himself in such a way. Ve'ikuhu harotzim v'akisufim. The telltale sign of an Erlich Yid, of a kosher Yid, is that a person like that is filled with rotzim and kisufim. He's filled with a desire, as I said before, kisuf and a yearning for something better. Something better doesn't mean a better house and a better car. It means to be a better Jew. He always feels a rotzen. He always has kisuf and to be better. V'afal pi shein lotzes b'zeh, even though obviously it's not enough that a person should go his whole life saying, I want to be better. It's not enough for a person just to have rotzen and kisufin, to want to be, the avoid of a yid in this world is to try to implement those rutsinas, lahotzi min hakoyach al hapoel, v'af al pi she'ein lotzis b'zeh, ein lotzis b'zeh, one should not just be yotzi to say, okay, I want to be able to learn, I want to be able to daven, he should do his best, l'maisa, to live that way. That one must make every attempt possible, every effort possible. Lahotzi mikoach al hapoel davke. Ki af al pi she'einis rachmana patre. Even though we know that according to halacha, if a person wants to do something and he's not able to do it, so he's potter, he's exempt. It's not your fault. You wanted to, you could. You tried, it didn't work out. So Chazal say, Einis Rachmana Patri, it's a very big cloud in Halacha, that Einis Rachmana Patri, even though there's a tremendous debate that's found, goes back to the Rishonim and then the Achronim, about how do we define Einis Rachmana Patri. What is the meaning of that type of an Einis? There's a section in the Chalkis Yoyev. There's a lot of lomdis on that whole sugya of Einis Rachmana Patri. In Kolze, Zel Lemisha writes a lot to Zachayv. Now, Machazal said, that a person who can't is exempt, it means It's talking about a person who really wants to. Who really, really wants to. Who really has a Ratzon Kisufim. And then he can't. He's not able to. And only a person in the oimek of who he is, an honest person, can know whether it's really something that he can do, or he's just looking for a way out. And Hashem Baruch knows whether the person really wanted to do this. Really wanted it. Now, how do you feel when it starts to rain and it's Leil Sukkos? I don't mean the first night, because then everybody's very upset. I mean, the first night, you understand. But the fourth night of Sukkos. How do you feel? So the din is, okay, there's another din of Mitztar being part of the Sukkot. So it's a little bit different because it's Kain Tadur. You're supposed to live in the Sukkot where you live in your house. But what type of disappointment do you feel? What kind of an onus are you? So Rabbi Nachman is telling us that when the Gemara tells us, Aynas Rachmana Patre, Im Kol Zehu L'misha writes a Lassis Achayv. And even that it can be counted as if you did the Mitzvah, right? As Chazal say also. Chishev Lassis Mitzvah, that if a person wanted to do a Mitzvah and he couldn't, so Kosh Baruch Hu counts it as if he did the Mitzvah. Say that. But it's only Be'emes Be'emes if there were true Kisufim. True, if there was a true longing to do that. But you can't cool your rotzen, you can't calm yourself down just by saying to yourself, no, I'm part of machmas aynus. Rak what? You have to push yourself and work as hard as you can to do the rotzen Hashem. To the Ratzon Hashem. If you're a person that says, like sometimes a person will talk about his schedule and he doesn't have time to learn, so say, why don't you try to get up earlier? So he says, I can't, I need to have 7 hours of sleep. I hear this all the time. I need to have 8 hours of sleep. And then maybe you'll say, like the Rambam says that or something. So that's one of the most popular Rambams. So, now that the Rambam says that a person wants to be Zechel Kisr Shel Torah, he doesn't waste any of his nights with sleeping and stuff, but this person knows the Rambam about sleeping. So, the person says, I need 8 hours. If you need 8 hours of sleep, maybe you don't need 8 hours of sleep. Maybe that's just a hergel that you're used to from the time that you're younger, that you think that you need 8 hours, you can't function. People always say these things, I can't function unless than eight. That's a certain nusach. I can't function unless than, fill in, hours of sleep. I can't function. And they could prove it to you because if you say try them, the next day they'll walk around like, yeah, I'm not functional. Right? Like, I'm not functional. I'm not able to work clearly. It's not right. And they'll say, you know, it's not even fair chashamish because if I don't work properly for my boss, then I'm stealing from my boss and I have to get 7 hours, 8 hours of sleep. Is that for everybody? There are some people that are like that. It's true. There are some people that they can't, for whatever reason, there's an Indian that they can't. That they need more sleep than other people. There is such an idea. But how do you know that? Did you try for a month, for 6 months, for a year? Did you try to be margal yourself to sleep with 4 hours, with 5 hours? Tonight's the yard site of Reb Shimon Shkobz, the Chassad of Kosh Lavoch. It's Tes Cheshm, it's Reb Shimon's, my Rebbe's Rebbe, Reb Shimon Shkobz, the yard site. Reb Shimon, till his last day, never slept more than 2 hours a night. In 24 hours, 2 hours. He was an older person. Already. He died right at the beginning of World War II. At the time, the Germans were just coming. Like Shimon, 2 hours. He seemed to be functioning very well. So that, okay, you want to say it's a Pella. You know, the Lubavitch Rebbe Schusser, you know, nobody knows exactly when he slept or what he slept. It doesn't seem that anybody could find an exact time when he was sleeping. There are people that are like that. The Satmarov, also. He used to go a little bit during 24 hours. He used to put his head down in the middle of talking. He would put his head down for 2 or 3 minutes, open his eyes, wash his hands, and he would continue where he left off. He went like that 24 hours. He would do that like 5 times in 24 hours. So, wash his hands, and then he would continue. He functioned. So, listen, we're not the Satmarov, we're not Reb Shimon. But not the Lubavitch Rebbe, but just regular. You want to be Kosher Elohim. Does a Kosher Elohim need 8 hours, 7 hours? The Emes. especially if you hear a person that's not, I'm not talking about a 60, 70-year-old that can't sleep anymore anyway. I'm not talking about maybe a kid, because a kid needs a certain amount of sleep. I'm talking about a person that's 20, 30, 40, 50 years old, 7 hours, 8 hours. It's the Shabbos, the sleep, the whole Friday night, and then Shabbos day, and Bamas. No one's worried that at 120 they're going to show you that there were thousands of hours you could have been learning. Thousands of hours. And Shemaim, you can say a thing that I wouldn't have been able to function. So the version says, don't tell me about functioning. You could function. You could have functioned your whole life on 5.5 hours instead of 7 hours. An hour and a half every day. For what? It feels good to sleep. So what does it mean? Oynes rachmana patre. A person has to push himself. That's what Benachem is saying. A person has to push himself. And shaloy lekaradaita b'zev mashu potem achmas oynes. There's a thing called oynes shena also. Tardema. There's an oynes shena. This person, he falls asleep. But a person has to try. Raglasis avodas Hashem b'poyel. Chazal didn't say oynes rachmana patre if a person didn't try hard. And it's certainly not considered as if he did a mitzvah, if he could have done it and he didn't do it. Afal pichen. Gam ze toiv, kishe euch zin beze, she'en reitzen lot zes hama oynes. This also was good, Rabbi Nachman says. Afal pichen. Gam ze toiv. Kishe, not to fool yourself, that's not good. But gam ze toiv, kishe euch zin beze, when you hold on to this madrega of what? She'ein writes in Lot Seisim Ha'aynis. I don't want, I feel tired. Go back to the example of sleep. It's hard for me. And maybe I am, I don't know if I am, maybe in Shemaim you consider me to be an onus that I can't stay up longer. But I don't want to be like that. Help me that I shouldn't be Yotze with an onus. That I shouldn't be Potter as an onus. I don't want to be Potter because I'm an onus. I want to be able to do your will. I don't want to be Potter. I don't want to be part of it. I want to be able to do it. Rakshi kisufa chazan. Therefore, one has to always keep the temperature up. You have to always keep the pot on the fire. So sometimes you taka can't do the mitzvah. Or sometimes you can't stay awake. Or sometimes you can't overcome a certain inyan. You can't. And the Baruch Shalom knows that it's taka you're an onus on that. You can't. Nevertheless, Rabbi Nachman says, don't ever let go of the kisuf and to keep the pot on the fire. Actually, kisuf ay chazok ur sinai takif ma'oid. And you keep the rotzen strong. Not to let that become a way of life. There are people who live their entire lives, I'm an onus. Like I mentioned many times, how many it's happened over the years that there'll be a bocha, especially with bocha, that a bocha doesn't show up, you don't see him, whatever, by a minion or by a shul for 2 months or 3 months, whatever. I mean, he talked to me, he says, I was having your reader. But it's not like he's crying. He says, I was your reader. You read the time. He had a your reader. So it's not like he was on his hands and knees crawling to yeshiva. It wasn't like he begged the mashgiach, drag me out of bed and pull me into the bais medrash. He just put a thing on his door, and he didn't put up a piece of tape with a hammer and nails. He put up your reader on his door in the dormitory, which means leave me food, don't bother me, I don't daven, I don't learn. You come in maybe at 12:30, I'll have my tefillin on a little bit for a few minutes, and I'm your reader. That it could be that there were a few days, he wasn't feeling well, whatever else it might be, but a person doesn't even feel it, the kisufim to change. The rotzen and the kisufim to change. So Menachem says, Af op ihn ze gam zet tayf ich euch zum ze ein reizen lots is am ein is wachs ki sufa khazak or it sonne tak ich ma ei lusges las is auf is a sham pile that he wants very badly to be able to do the avad is a sham pile, even though right now he can't, he feels that he can't, he doesn't see how he can. The zehar rotzen ba'atz my tayf ma ei, and that rotzen, Reb Nachman says, is very good to have that rotzen. Not to rely upon others, to do more, to be able to be a true Eved Hashem in every sense, that Ratzon is very, very good. From Afal Pichen Hu Onus, And if Lamaisa, despite his rotzen, despite his will, he's an honest, it happens. You can't. Despite that he's an honest. Ven zoyche el ha'avoida, and he's not zoyche to actually carry out that avoida. Ha'rotzen oniskele el ba'atzmoy, u'tov ma'oid. Then the rotzen itself, is very, very good. This is not something Rabbi Nachman he's not saying a chiddush, but the emphasis on the importance of a rotzen, even while being in a state of honest. And it's not only, this is what Rabbi Nachman emphasizes a lot, it's not only on a mitzvah asay, on what I want to do something positive in Avodas Hashem. Even if a person feels that he doesn't have the strength to overcome, God forbid, a yetzahar or a taiva, and he gives in again to that taiva, and he doesn't have to overcome it. So a person can either just give up and say, look, what am I going to do? I'm never going to change. This is how I am. I always do this. I can't get out of it. Either that, or he always has kisufim and ritzainis to overcome that taiva. And therefore he always bounces back, and he goes back, and he goes to a shia. There's a bacher that I know. He's already close to 30 years old, this bacher. He needs a shidduch. So the bacher has a big nisayon with looking at bad things on the internet. So every now and then I get a call from him. He's not from here. I get a call from him every now and then. I know for a long time. And he says, he just leaves me either a message or if I hear. And he says, I'm 54 days, 62 days clean. That I didn't look at anything bad on the computer. He leaves me to give me nachas, which I have. A lot of nachas. And then like a month later, I'll hear a message. I'm 5 days clean. 5 days. But you see, I have tremendous love and respect for this bacher, and I tell him that all the time. And he's not fooling himself. He has a big inyan with this. He has a big nisayon with this inyan parable. And he fights with it all the time. And every day, wherever he goes, is such a milchama, is a war. And he puts it down like he scratches at the end of the day. If he's able to make it, he scratches like on the wall of the prison. I made another day. And then he has the feeling. Then he picks himself up, and he starts again. He gets like a day or two. He writes a bracha. He feels very bad about himself, and then he starts again. Who knows in Shemayim what a person like that is? What that means in Shemayim, a yid like that, it's himself in such a thing. It says by. In Melachim Aleph, the pasuk there, that Hashem Zbach says to David HaMelech, Yana Shehoye im Levovcha Livnois Bayis Lishmi. It's a famous pasuk, right? Yana Shehoye im Levovcha Livnois Bayis Lishmi. David HaMelech never got to build the Beis HaMikdash, as you know. He never built it. But look what HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells. The Baruch Hu says, Yan Ashehoye im Levovcha Livnois Bayis Lishmi. Hativoisa Ki Hoye im Levovcha. Hativoisa. It's good. That's exactly what Nachman is saying. Hativosa, right? Look what he says at the end. He says, "Who taught my?" Hashem says to David HaMelech, "Yana shahayim levovcha livnois bayis lishmi." You wanted to build a Beis Hamikdash. Hativosa ki haya im levovcha. Hativosa, it's good. Don't think that it was worthless. Don't think it's nothing. David HaMelech couldn't. He was honest on that. Don't think that means doesn't mean anything. Hashem says, Hativaisa. Ki hayim levavecha. And at the very, very end of the Nevi'im, the last Navi was Malachi HaNavi. And there's also a very famous pasuk over there at the end of all Nevi'im, Achrayim. Oz nidbru yirei Hashem, yish al re'ehu. I'm sure many of you are familiar with this pasuk. Oz nidbru yirei Hashem. It's talking, the last Navi Malachi was talking about, every Nevuah of Malachi is about us, the end of time. And the Navi says, Oz nidbru yirei Hashem, yish al re'ehu. In those days, right before Mashiach comes, those Jews who are left in the world who still fear God, who still care about God, are going to speak to each other. V'yakshev Hashem v'yishma v'yichtoiv sefer zikaron lefonav v'yikosev sefer zikaron lefonav. Hashem is listening to this when Yidden, when Elach Yidden, when Kosher Yidden are struggling and they're talking to each other to give chizik to each other. Hashem hears this and he writes it, and it's written in his book of memories, Kivyoch. Sefer Zikaron Lefonav, Liyurei Hashem. Listen to the pasuk. Liyurei Hashem, a special book that Hashem has, Liyurei Hashem of God-fearing Jews, El Chidin, Ulechoshvei Shemai, and those who think of His name. What does that mean? Liyurei Hashem, Ulechoshvei Shemai. So it says in the Gemara Shabbos Daf Samach Gimel. My ulechoshvei shemai. Well, who is this guy? Who are these people? Liyurei Hashem. What does it mean, ulechoshvei shemai? Those who think of God's name. What's lechoshvei shemai? Afilu choshev la'asay smitzvah v'nenas v'lei asa. Ma'al olavakosav kilu asa. On this, the Gemara brings that person. Chishev la'asay smitzvah, that he was thinking. Choshvei shemai. He was thinking, he wanted to do a mitzvah. The nenas v'le'asa, and he was a nenas, and he couldn't do it. Ma'al olavakosav kilo asa. This is a very big inyan in the Sfarim. Rabbi Nachum didn't make this up. In the Chorvus Levavus, if you have a Chorvus Levavus, look in the Shach Hezbon HaNefesh in the second parak. There's a lot on this inyan. The second parak in the Shach Hezbon HaNefesh, which a person should learn always, the Shach Hezbon HaNefesh. So the second parak, he talks about this a lot. L'choshvei Shemai, that madrega, the person who wants. Now let's go back and understand on a deeper level, in the context of what Rabbi Nachman really taught this. On the page that you have in front of you is L'kut HaMaran, Tinyana, the second chelik, Kuf Tes Zayin. Rabbi Nachman is talking about Eretz Yisrael. He's talking about Eretz Yisrael. And you'll see in a minute how it's related to what we're learning. And you'll see when Rabbi Nachman says these words that we were learning at the beginning. When he said that an Elach Yid, a Kosher Yid, even though he looks like every other person, he looks like any other person, but he's different. He's different. A Kosher Yid is something different. It's a Chiddush. We understand from this Torah that an Elach, a Kosher Yid, is filled with Ritzonus and Kisuf that you don't even see on him. How do you know? When you see, you don't know. You look at him, you don't know who he is. So Nachman is speaking about Eretz Yisrael, and he's talking about when he was in Eretz Yisrael. You have a Kuf Tes Zayin on the right side. Siper shekishahayu Eretz Yisrael, siper lo yisham achshuvim shahayu sham. When he was in Eretz Yisrael, Nachman says that when he was in Eretz Yisrael, there were some choshev people that told him there, shabo me medinas elu v'kavad yirosim sham be'Eretz Yisrael. Come before us. That there were other, he met Jews there who had come from Europe, and that they moved and they went in Aliyah and they lived in Eretz Yisrael. And Rabbi Nachman met Yidden. I was talking to these Yidden. The Sipulah Shekodim Shahayu Eretz Yisrael, and they told Rabbi Nachman that before they moved, before they came to Eretz Yisrael, you know, in those days they didn't take any pilot trip with the Nefesh B'Nefesh or something. There was no pilot trip. You had to get up and leave everything, and it took you every penny you had, and it took you sometimes months and even years to get there to sell. That was your trip. Whatever it was when you got there, if you found out that it wasn't 4-star or 5-star, that was what you had. So the people said to him, Shekoidim shahoyu be'etz yisrael, lo hoyu yuchem l'tzayil ha'atzman, she'etz yisrael hi omedes b'zeh ha'olam. Before they went to Eretz Yisrael, they couldn't imagine in their minds that Eretz Yisrael was like another place in this world. My father, Zolgus Zayn, told me that when he was a boy growing up, and all he ever heard were stories about Eretz Yisrael and learning. So my father said he always, in his mind, he had a certain picture of Eretz Yisrael. And they didn't have really, he said he didn't see pictures. He saw, they used to have, he said in his house, they had a picture of Kever Rachel. Not how it looks now. They had a picture of Kever Rachel, my father said, on the wall. And my father, all of Eretz Yisrael, he said, he always imagined like from a different planet. You know, he said that everything was, you know, all, only everything tzaddikim and how it looked and everything, all palm trees and kedusha, like he said when he was a child, like shining from everything. It couldn't be a place of this world. And they said to Rabbi Nachum that they thought that Eretz Yisrael would be a completely different place, like not from this world. Because all they did in their lives when they were living far away was they were learning in the Svarim. And when you learn in the Svarim, you see unbelievable things about Eretz Yisrael. So these people thought that when they're going to get there, it's going to be like someplace else. So many places written in Tanakh, the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. But Torah ba'atzma mefereshes kol gvulei Eretz Yisrael the gadol ma'alos kedushas ha'otzim v'anarim ha'oid ma'ay. The Torah is so careful. The Torah goes out of its way to specify all the borders and everything Eretz Yisrael to let us know exactly where is Eretz Yisrael because of its kedusha. Al kein lo hoyuchem letzay la'atzma b'neim she'Eretz Yisrael yeh b'zeh ha'oila. They couldn't imagine that Eretz Yisrael is like any other place in the world. Ada shabo l'sham. Oh, but when they got there, they said, the Rosh Eretz Yisrael, he b'zeh ha'olam mamish. Then they saw Eretz Yisrael b'zeh ha'olam mamish. They saw Eretz Yisrael is b'zeh ha'olam. It's a place in this world. Ki b'emes, Eretz Yisrael, hu k'moy medinas ha'olam mamish. Rabbi Nachman says, b'emes, Eretz Yisrael is k'medinas ha'olam mamish. Maybe the weather's a little bit different in the summer, but k'medinas ha'olam mamish. Could be that they have an Eretz Yisrael jukim. And as of Eretz Yisrael, you don't have such big jukim, but Eretz Yisrael, the land of Eretz Yisrael, is he says, "Kimedin is kimedin, say lamamish." What's the difference? The people are not people, and they're not buying in the shuk, and they're not selling, and get the afar Eretz Yisrael, who b'mara u'demus kamei afar medin say lamamish, and the dirt, the earth of Eretz Yisrael. They thought they're going to come there, going to find the whole gems and diamonds. The earth of Eretz Yisrael is k'may afar Medina Seilam Amish. It's like the dirt of Medina Seilam Amish. K'mash mevin l'fam afar lovam yisam. Aye, sometimes we heard of things where they brought from Eretz Yisrael, they brought white, like from, I guess from the beach or something, or someplace, they brought white, I don't know, from Eilat, white sand. They brought something. So Rakhman Mekamis Pratim, yeah, you have a couple of places like that. He says, you know what, if you go around Russia, you can go someplace you can find also sand like that. It looks the same. Kib emes bidmus utmuna ein chila klal ben Eretz Yisrael ben Shah Medinas. Because as far as how it looks to the eyes of a person who's just a regular person, there's no difference really between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz. La'avdol. V'achal pichein hi kedosh ma'oid ma'oid b'tachas ha'kedusha atzuma v'nairoa ma'oid. It's not because physically you see anything different. That's not it. If a person has eyes to see, like there's a mice with a basayin, we're not going to go into right now, if a person has eyes to see, not eyes, physical eigen, physical eyes, but he has eyes of the neshama, then he can feel and he can sense that avapichin kedusha ma'oid ma'oid betachas hakedusha atzuma v'neiroa ma'oid, that the kedusha of Eretz Yisrael is great and is awesome. Asher zoich lahalach shama filo Abrahamis. We know that when Rabbi Nachman himself came off the boat, you remember, after all he went through. He came off the boat and he walked for Amos and he said, okay, he's ready to go back on the boat. He had to stay because what happened with the one person who was with him, with the Yitzchak and so on. But when he came off the boat, Rabbi Nachman, he got off the boat, he walked Dalat Amos, and all of his madregas, all the madregas of Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Nachman got in a few seconds. And he said, Besaylo, let's go back. That was it, he was done. He didn't, not Meron. Not Yerushalayim. Just he went off the boat. He drayed around over there, Dalat Amos, and that was it. Must speak. Time to go back. So if any of us would say, we didn't go, does it have, miniature Israel? Or whatever. I mean, nothing. Or we can go to a little bit to Galula, get some garinim, or something. Something. No, no. So Rabbi Nachman, four amas. Habaita. Four amas. All the madrigas of Eretz Yisrael. Because Rabbi Nachman was connected to the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. Not what you look at and you see. The dirt is the same dirt as Chutzlaretz. The buildings are buildings. And after you're there for a little while, you could even miss the comforts of Chutzlaretz, that you might not have the same in Eretz Yisrael. What he says about the Kedusha is, he says, Atzuma Neirama, at Ashri Ezech, La'alach Shom Afila Abra Amas, Kashi Efligu, Rav Esenza Chalom Evachal, Kal Asfram, Ba'itzim, Gdu Sosha, Gdoi Lumanar. Now he says, listen carefully. Rav Nachman told this over because it's not only when it comes to Eretz Yisrael that we have to realize this. Some people make a lot of mistakes. There's some people that think that when they're going to look at a tzaddik, they're going to see the tzaddik. Ooh! They're going to look at the tzaddik. Rabbi Nachman, I told you many times, Rabbi Nachman says it's a good thing we don't have any painting of Rabbi Nachman. Because people think of Rabbi Nachman, you know, whatever they want to think, how he looked. And the emphasis is, he was very thin, and he had a thin reddish beard and long scraggly payas. And we might have passed him in the street and we wouldn't have known that he was the Kodesh Kedoshim. We could have walked right by Rabbi Nachman and he would have looked up at us and we would have said, I already gave you before. No? And Rabbi Nachman would have just said, I wasn't asking, I wanted to give you the whole Rabbani Shalom. No, Shkai. So a person thinks he's going to see a tzaddik, and who knows what he's going to see over there. She says, "Shetzichin lahakir zat tzaddik gashar davish b'kedusha lahakir b'funa b'tzalmud musa." You think you're going to see kedusha written all over the face, and you're going to recognize it, and it's going to be so different. And you're going to come to a yeshiva, or you're going to come to someplace, a makam of kedusha, and it's going to be written all over, and you're going to be knocked out by it. Sheyir meshuna b'dmusa b'tnoisa v'davki. You're waiting to see that the tzaddik should make all different kinds of movements, and he should act a certain way, and it's going to, you're going to be really impressed with how the tzaddik looks to you. Obam is loy kein hu, ki at tzaddik hu b'dmus v'tzalim kechol ha'anoshim. The tzaddik looks like other people. Vein v'yishum shinu, he tries davki, they shouldn't be different. V'af ha'pichin hu inyin acher lagamri. A tzaddik is an inyin acher lagamri, not a better person, inyin acher lagamri. Ushar b'nei Adam, einem b'dmus klal b'emes lamito, and the other people, even though they look like him, can compare to him. If you see somebody, see a tzaddik with a hajjah, and imagine if that tzaddik, not sure, but if the beard wouldn't be on, and is some old tzaddik, he wouldn't have a beard, and he wouldn't have his pace, and he wouldn't have his malbush, and everything, he'd be sitting on a park bench on Ocean Parkway. So what? What would you say? Oh, you wouldn't say anything, you'd say, hope you win or something. He's playing chess, right? On over there. Hope you win. Have a good day. What would you say? Now you see him with everybody around him and to respond him and so on. And now he says, "Kamari Shomar Rabbeinu Zal Sheish Hakoshet Nidma Shahelikim Kakoshes Vedakin Kamashav Neodim." You have there's such a thing as an Erlich Yid, a simple God fearing Jew, Nish Kosher, that he walks around with intestines with kishkas like anybody else. Avah Pichein Hu Inyan Achel Agamrei. Is altogether a different thing. The chen Eretz Yisrael b'emes him l'vdels m'fresh l'gam b'shar v'atz m'kol yinah b'chinah sen. Eretz Yisrael is entirely different from any place else in the world. I to you looks the same. No, nebuch. It is totally different than any other place in the world. Rav Rabbeinu Zal she Eretz Yisrael yesh lo v'kiyah achem b'shar v'atzis. Yeah, Rav Nachman says Eretz Yisrael has a different sky. It's a different sky. Eretz Yisrael is different v'kiyah. Uchemuv m'zoy ha'kodesh says m'zoy. Af ha'pichen. Even though in Gashmis, when you look at Eretz Yisrael, you don't think see anything different. Rav Nachman, the sky is different. Look at the sky, was different over here. It's the same thing that I have in Chutzlar. It's the same sky. So it looks the same. Where does the difference come? In the heart and in the mind and the soul of a mamin. The same thing with the tzaddik. Even if you believe in the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, you can't alter it. It's so different, but you can maybe pick up on epi something. Also the tzaddik. You can pick up on something. Kamei chen ha-tzaddik v'anoshim k'shem le'erach shar ha'olam It's not going to look like all other people. It's not look any different at all in Gashmis. Nevertheless, we believe with all of our hearts that they are what? That they're mufroshim umuvdolim legamri. That they're altogether different. Ki ish kosha hu inyan acher legamri kanal. We kol shekein at tzaddikim amitim. Vinyans and nitzach lakamin yonim vahavein zamoid. He says this is something that you need for many, many things in Yiddishkeit and Avos Hashem. And understand this well. Okay, we'll continue as Hashem.